Mick and MJ in the morning, brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.
A warm round of congratulations for our newly minted granddad on the show, MJ.
Wow, yes. Thank you, Mickey. Thank you, girls. Thank you, everyone.
Unbelievable. Congratulations, mate.
Thanks,
how did
mate.
You find out? Walk us through the announcement, which you went public last night on Insta.
Yep.
So tell us all about it.
About a month ago, my oldest boy, Logan, and his wonderful lady, Paige, told us that they were pregnant. They showed us the pregnancy test, I thought it was a COVID test. And I went, well, who's got COVID? It's, they said, no, it's we're pregnant. I went, what? So that was, we kind of kept that under wraps for about a month. And then yesterday they found out, because the baby's at an age now where you can tell what sex it is, and we're going to have a little baby guy, a boy.
Bouncing baby boy.
Yeah.
And obviously I'm exercising my rights as Uncle Mickey.
Of course you are.
No, hang on. Well, maybe I might even make a push for Godfather. Who do I need to talk to there?
Just me, mate. You just got to talk to me.
Well, mate, you can, Kate, have a word.
You're
can
in.
You have a word? Slip me in.
Well, you know
mate,
what?
I'm good for it.
Godfathers are usually, you know, well off. They're charismatic. They're caring.
And you feel guys want to be them. Girls want to do them.
So
that's what we say.
Instead of Mick and MG, now we're going to call it Godfather and MG.
This is going to be great fun. And you'll be at the birth?
Of course. Yeah, I won't
I'm
be
going
in
to
the
come
room.
Too. We're going to, you know, we are. No, we're going to form a slips cordon.
You two will be at the pub, but don't let him anywhere near you during
the
birth.
We'll be there.
I'll be there, but I'll be up the non-striker's end.
I would hope so.
Hold, this is fantastic. And what
awesome.
Did you have a gender reveal? What did you do?
No gender reveal.
Nothing stupid? Didn't do some hooning?
They've seen a lot that have unfolded drastically the wrong way, so they thought they'd just keep it low-key and just they got the picture of their little bub in a photo, and that was the way they kind of announced to their friends and family and all of us that they're having a baby boy, and I think it's...
What about names? Again, I'm going to put little Mickey on the table.
I'm not sure if I want to be called granddad or grandfather. I'd like to be called Poppy or
pa?
Papa or,
what about
or
pa?
Poppy G.
Yeah. Panther Pop.
Old prick. Old prick, that would work.
You old bastard.
What about names? Have you thought about names? What about Adolf?
It's out of fashion.
Yeah, it's a bit out of fashion.
Not going great guns these days.
No.
Okay, 133353, give us a call. What advice have you got? What grandparenting advice have you got? This is exciting times we live in. Girls, have you got any advice for him? Tash,
I just say, well, I'm a great grandmother, but no, can I just say what is beautiful is when you become a grandparent, seeing the relationship between your parents and your children is one of the most beautiful gifts you can give somebody.
Yeah.
And they often say, which you will be the most wonderful grandfather, MG, is that you have the time to spend with the grandkids that you didn't with your own children.
Yes, and then you can give them back as well at night.
Correct. Yeah. And you spoil them.
Because you were a bad parent.
Yeah.
There's no denying.
Unbelievable.
All right, name ideas, parenting ideas. What do we need to do? Are we going to have a? Are we having a baby shower?
Yeah, of course we will.
Triple M baby shower? We've got another listener party coming up here.
Baby shower,
just for grandparents.
Might be the only one I want to go to. Amazing.
133353, get on board. Congratulate the big fella. It's all happening today. Are you nervous?
I feel excited. I've always wanted, you know, my mum was like 43 when she became a grandparent, so... I suppose I was 27 when I had my 26 when I had my oldest boy, and he's 29. So, I think I'll be a good granddad. I've always seen people with their grandkids and think, oh, I'd love to be one. Now that I am one, it's going to be exciting.
You will be a hands-on granddad. You'll be there when they go to school. You'll be there for their first game. You'll be there when they do jail time. You'll be there. Oh, no, you will. I know.
I'll be there for them. Don't worry about
that. You'll be there for baby's first neck tattoo. That'll be a big moment. That's where I'm going to get a gift voucher for a neck tattoo.
When he's five.
You're the worst godparent already.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, I'm loving it. Well, I've got a godparent, my boys, who are 11. And well, my best mate, Chowie, and I said, mate, I want you to be the godparent. He goes, oh, Jesus, what does that involve? I go, mate, it's really simple. They're going to get to an age and they're going to get in trouble and they're not going to want to call me. They're going to call you. Mm-hmm. You're going to go and sort it. And a couple of days later, you're going to call me. And you're going to let me know. And he goes, oh, I can do that.
That's true.
And that is pretty much your goddad duties. As far as I am concerned, Russell's on the line. Russell, what advice have you got?
Congratulations, Mark.
Thank you, Russ.
What you should be doing is teaching your grandchildren all the bad habits. So when their parents get them back, it's their problem. It's a bit of a payback for them.
That's not bad. Evil plan there, Russell. You are quite a vindictive man.
And your name should be OB. Why? Not Poppy or anything. OB.
What's OB?
Old bastard.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
I want to be Papa. Papa.
Is that your preferred moniker? Papa? Papa?
Yeah,
hey, Papa.
Papa.
Oh, yeah, Papa. Oh, you.
I don't. Or just. Or just.
The Big Kahuna. What about the Big Kahuna?
Oh, that'd be good.
That's a good one for.
That'd be good.
Hi, you're going to be a great granddad. How many people are going to be living at your house now? It's going to be like an episode of The Furies. There'll be kids everywhere, everyone causing trouble.
To subsidize all the money that I will be spending once we have 12 people under my roof, I might have to undertake a reality TV show and get cameras to film it all.
Oh, you're going into the jungle for some peace.
Make a bit of a side hustle.
I would watch that. I'd be in it occasionally, just coming over.
A case of Jetty
Road, and cause some trouble. I cannot wait. This is very exciting. Names, come on, give us a name. Give us something.
Well, I don't know.
I'll give us a short list.
I like Griffin for a boy. Nice little name. I like
Griffin for like a penguin or something. No, I would have thought for a
old
boy.
Old school, like Max. Max is a good name, a good strong name. Or Will, W-I-L-L.
Is it not the parents' choice?
Yeah, it's not my choice anyway.
he's allowed to throw them in.
I can throw.
What about Herb? Herb. Keith. We need a couple more Keiths on deck.
Keith. Well, that was my grandfather's name, Keith. So maybe that could be brought back. I like it. Keith.
Wayne.
Ernest.
Ernest.
Ernest Geyer. Oh, I like it a lot.
Breaking royal news.
Royal waves.
My penis was oscillating.
Your Majesty. Mummy.
She's lathered up and ready to go. I've never seen anyone have an out-of-body experience like Natasha Belling when it comes to royal news. Give us the latest on Kate. I hate to ask it. What's going on?
Okay.
Latest theory.
Couple of developments overnight. Now, you know Piers Morgan, very, very famous newspaper editor and host in the UK. It's important to note he is a moniker.
Pompous windbag. Pompous windbag, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
But important to note that he is in the Wills and Kate camp. This is what he had to say about the mystery surrounding Kate overnight.
Yes. Although on one level it could be trivial, right? It might just be literally she's okay, she's recovering well, she's trying to do something to correct the conspiracies and just got it wrong by editing and not realising. Or it could be that they're hiding something. I mean, I've been told some stuff which is, if even half of it is true, about what's happening here is pretty alarming. So I don't know what to believe, nor do any of us. We're not there. We don't know.
What's he referring to? You know, what is it?
Okay.
What's the theory?
Well, the latest theory is the fact that Prince Wills allegedly has had an affair with somebody for a number of years and there is a secret love child, which then could allegedly throw into disarray.
Oh, yeah. Now we're getting there.
Who is the next heir to the throne?
Now we're getting funky.
Come on.
This is good.
Can I point out now
this is fantastic.
Now the criticisms come out against the media. The media is supporting Kate. We're not having a go at Kate. We're saying there is something else going on and they're throwing Kate under the bus and why?
This is fantastic.
It's about time,
I'm just, this is going to be great. I love a royal scandal. We did a new series of The Crown.
Oh, yes.
With, real nasty pasties floating around. kids who could be Like a Richard III could ascend to the throne.
Well, I would claim, and this is a bombshell allegation, this is the biggest scandal to rock the monarchy since the abdication of the Queen's uncle with Mrs. Simpson.
Okay, that's one way of looking at it. Or she's recovering from an operation.
Why put out the fake photo and where is she?
Calm down. Do you have anything else to research? Is there other stuff going on in the world right now?
Not in her mind.
MG's Sport Report.
Tricky little dummy halfway for Maltus and the shot on to Mariner. Chip and chase. And score. That is one of the great tries we've seen over the opening few weeks. Dean Mariner out of the Phil Blake School, chipping and chasing down the sideline, if you don't mind. That is some try, and that closes the curtain on this contest.
Yeah, it certainly does. The Broncos have claimed their first win of 2024 with a 28-18 victory over the Rabbitohs. It was a pretty clunky first half, but then all of a sudden, whiz kid, and he's on fire. Reece Walsh injected himself into the game with a double. It wasn't all smiles for the Broncos, but because skipper Adam Reynolds left the field in the second half with a knee injury. South's errors and lack of completion in that first half were alarming. They can't, I don't think they can wait to get Jack White in that squad to give him a bit of a boost. And they seem to be at least one forward down. They await this week, Mickey, a big grudge game or two against the Roosters coming up. So they could be potentially 0-3.
Tough start for the year for Rabbitohs. It's because there are a few people tipping him to be part of the pointy end. So there you go. All right.
Tonight's game is a sellout, official sellout at Bluebet Stadium in the Western Derby between Parramatta and Penrith. Parramatta have unchanged. Penrith welcome back Mitch Kenny and Scott Sorensen. Penrith have won 10 of their last 11 games at Bluebet, while Parramatta have won 4 of their past 6 games against Penrith. So this is going to be an awesome contest. Can't wait to watch this. I'll be at the game tonight. I can't wait to have the weather holds off. In some Olympic news, Mickey.
What's going on?
It seems our Olympic cyclists in the upcoming Paris Olympics may have an advantage over their rivals with the bikes they'll be competing with are reportedly costing a whopping $100,000 per bike.
Per bike?
Per bike.
That's a lot of coin for a bike, I would have thought.
Well, it's
you want a good bicycle lock for that one. I would be leaving that out the front of the milk bar.
Yeah, don't leave that out the front of Redfern.
You go into... What do you get for $100,000?
Well, currently they're a Hanzo track cycling bike. They're currently retailing for $100,000, but usually bikes in the Olympics cost between $15,000 and $25,000. The Australians are doing everything they can to win gold at the Paris Olympics by doing this, and there's even a bit of a commercial on it as well.
Bye-bye.
The all-new Hanzo bike, with handlebars whittled down from a section of Stonehenge, the heating and cooling cedars hand-stitched by an Egyptian pharaoh from the skin of aliens' testicles. Each wheel rim is delicately carved from the ribcage of 5 white rhinos, and the brake fluid is extracted from an ancient lake on Mars. Pinstriping lifted directly from the hide of the last known Tasmanian tiger. And completing the all-new Hanzo bike, gold and blood diamond spurky dokies.
Spurky dokies.
Oh, it's good. I want the lot for $100,000.
Oh, you want?
I want one of those goodie style bikes. You know that you can get 3 guys on. Yes. I'm not giving anyone a dink. You know what I mean? Where are you going? Can I get a dink? Nah. Well,
you wouldn't put the pegs with the cards in them type of bikes.
You wouldn't put the cards in the spokes.
No.
No bunny hopping.
No.
I would have thought. this is gold.
$100,000. Unbelievable.
$100,000. I'll have 2, thanks. Who's kidding?
Why did the chicken cross the road?
3 guys walking to a bar, right?
Knock, knock. Who's there?
MG's granddad jokes.
Instead of dad jokes, it's granddad jokes today in honour of the news that MG's about to become a granddad. Will it change the way you tell your jokes?
No. Not at all.
All right. Well, why would you when you do it so well? We met the meat man, by the way.
Yeah,
did
Matt.
We not at Alistair Party? He was swanning around. He looks like the best butcher that ever lived, and he knows it. He's a good-looking rooster, and he's got many fine meats he's purveying. Make no mistake. Let's have a listen to how it all went down last time on the show.
What does Jeff Bezos do before bed?
Don't know. What does he do?
He puts his pajamas on.
Oh, last night, this bloke presented himself to the emergency department with 12 plastic horses stuck up his backside.
Oh, yeah.
His condition's been listed as stable.
Put a jigsaw puzzle together in one day.
Oh, yeah.
Especially after the box said 3 to 5 years.
What did Jeffrey Dahmer say to Lorena Bobbitt?
Oh, I don't know. What did he say?
You going to eat that?
Oh. A little sample of some of our finer work in the dad joke department. You get the idea. If you're still not sure, here's a couple of freshies from the big man, the newly minted granddad, with his granddad jokes. Here he is, MG, fire away.
My granddad always said to me, find a woman who is smart, find a woman who is great in bed, and find a woman who loves you for who you are.
That's great.
Yeah. And make sure none of those women ever met.
Oh.
That is good advice. That is good parenting advice. That's advice you can hand down to your grandson. Got another one?
My grandfather said to me, why is the moon and fake teeth alike?
I don't know. Why is the moon and fake teeth alike?
Both of them only come out at night.
Oh, oh boy.
Oh, dear. Oh,
boy. You get the idea. Get involved for this special edition, 133353. Wow us. Wow the big man. And you can be taking home the chockies today. Let's go. Pete, got a granddad joke for us.
Yep. Who do you know that can drink 5 litres of petrol?
5 litres of petrol? Well, I don't know. Who?
Well, Jerry can.
Oh.
That's what you get. We walk into that one. Oh, Pete's pretty happy with his work. He's in the running. We're off and racing. Ian, joke, please.
Did you hear about the poker player who broke his arm?
No. What happened?
He's finding it hard to deal with.
Oh.
I don't know. I really don't know. That's outrageous. Daniel, what do you got?
All right, crows can't be hit by cars. They can only be hit by trucks because they hunt in pairs. One looks out and goes, car, car.
Oh.
We've got an impersonation going. Cars coming. Oh, Daniel, that was multi-layered. That was Peter. What do you got for us?
When my granddad turned 70, he decided he'd walk 10Ks every day.
Oh, okay.
That's nice.
Well, now he's turned 92 and we don't know where he is.
Oh.
All right, well, you better go find him. It's all happening today. Sid, please help us out.
What do you call fake spaghetti?
Oh. I don't know.
Antipasta. An imposter.
As in imposter.
Imposter, yeah.
It's from the old pasta tradition of dad jokes. There's a few floating around.
You won't be winning the meat today.
I don't even know who the clubhouse leader is at this stage, but you've got a lot of work to do here, granddad. Bill, come on, what do you got?
Mate, I've got what does Brussels sprouts and the kicking the balls have in common?
Don't know. What do they have in common?
I'm not fond of either of them.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
If you had to choose, Bill, would you choose a kick in the balls or Brussels sprouts?
I'd probably take the kick in the balls.
All right, MG, there's the collection, motley as it is. What are you thinking?
I always like those contestants to go the extra length, and I think the crow impersonation from Daniel gets him over the line.
Crow impersonation gets him across the line.
Daniel, well done. You've scored $150 to spend at the Meat Man Wholesale Meats Narellan.
Great.
Thank you, Dan.
And it's Friday, which means we put the satellite in place and we talk to our man in our Melbourne office, live from the Melbourne studios. It's Marty Sheargold. How are you, Marty?
Good morning, Mick. Good morning, MG. Good morning, Kat.
Hello, Marty.
It took a while to boot up this morning, Mick. You may have noticed. Jesus, I've never seen so many people running around a studio with less idea of how to fix something.
I don't know what was going on. Not my strong suit.
What I've learned over the years of radio, Mick, is to just sit quietly. Yeah. I've got nothing to contribute in that situation other than attitude and energy. I have no idea what these blokes do when they start talking about ISTN4 and all of that gear. I just tune out.
I know nothing about technology. In fact, I was complaining in a hotel room once that my electric curtains didn't work and I was standing there with a remote and I called someone up and they go, mate, they're not electric curtains.
That's your TV remote.
I was standing there.
What was the remote for, Mick?
Oh, I don't know. It probably opened up. So, but I'm sitting there going, mate, I'm in a towel. Yeah. I go, mate, have a look at this. See, look at this. They're just not working.
No, they're not electric. But it also lets people know the standard of accommodation you're used to in life, which is important. There's not a lot of people have stayed in rooms with electric curtains.
Well, I told everyone on the show recently, but one of my smoke alarms went off in my house. So this is how I dealt with it. I moved into a hotel room and rang up my office and said, can you let me know when that's fixed?
Well done, Mickey. The first set of electric curtains I ever saw was an old family friend in Nowra called Tom Basher. He had electric curtains upstairs and he had like Jason recliners and it was one of the greatest lounge rooms I've ever seen in my life. And the remote was like as big as your phone and he would go, boom, and the curtains would go like that. And they were the slowest things. But when you're like eight, it's like, Jesus Christ, it's like being in the Jetsons. Tommy Basher.
I don't want to talk about the Jetsons. They lied to me. Where's my flying car? That's all I want to know. I was promised in my... This is when I was about 10. They dangled the lure of a flying car. Look at me now. I've only got another 20 years to go. Where's me flying car, you pricks? I was promised this.
You might tip in right at the start of the technology and towards the sort of, well, let's say the twilight of your life, Mick. It may happen. I saw a giant drone the other day and I was like, geez, you could almost put a human in that.
Oh, yeah.
Like one of those like normal camera drones. I was like, I reckon you could balance on that if it had enough horsepower. You're going to need a big one to get my ass off the ground.
Who would you like to test pilot that? Can you think of anyone?
Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg.
He doesn't like Marky Wahlberg.
My go-to is always Dickie Wilkins. I love it when Dick's involved in exploration. I still remember the day fondly when Dick was in tears. He tested positive for the fourth time for COVID.
Yes,
and
remember that.
He got the credit line away for Luke Mangan dropping food off outside his house. He goes, as upset as I am, I just want to take the time to mention some great friends, particularly Luke Mangan, who's been dropping me boxes of food. brilliant, Dick.
Marty, while we've got you in our Melbourne office, is this true or false? CUB, a car drafter, is a Victoria Bitter offering a low-carb beer now? They did some research and I think it said 30% of their customers suggested they would be up for a low-carb variation of VB. And I warn against this, CUB, because every time they've toyed with VB in the past, it hasn't worked out. Do you remember... Do you remember when they dropped the alcohol content from 4.9 to 4.6%?
Yeah.
That was a drop of 0.3%, and that was bloody un-Australian.
Yeah,
and you know who the real victims there were, without doubt? It was ugly people who had to pedal a lot harder for a route.
Absolutely, Mick. You take percentage out of a beer and the goggles are lighter all of a sudden.
All of a sudden.
I can see the label here, Mick, and you'll love this. It's actually 4.9%.
Oh, that's good.
And it's a black label instead of what we would traditionally know as the green, the black VB labels. Green.
Oh,
and they've described
fancy.
It as a beer for a new crowd. So, God, I can't describe millennials any other way, can they? There's so many different ways to describe 18 to 24-year-olds. You know what they need to put in that VB? A couple of pingers.
Yeah.
And really old school them.
And
really
some TikTok. Old school.
Your one stop shop, as they say in the classics. Just before we go, Marty, today I have to ask you if you were going to fight an animal in the zoo, which animal would you fight? Because 8% of Americans think they could beat a lion in a fist fight.
Yeah.
Are you joking?
So, No, I'm not joking. They did. 8% think they could beat a lion. 8% think they could beat. In a fist fight with them. Oh, 8% of Americans couldn't beat the paddle pop lion in a fist fight.
I'm thinking straight off the bat, if I'm looking for an easy win.
Yeah,
I'm probably thinking a penguin.
A penguin.
I'm thinking just drop kick a penguin as far as I can.
Wow,
meerkat.
A meerkat's good. I'd go a panda. I reckon I could take a panda.
Yeah, kung fu panda. You could take.
You'd be surprised, Mick, at the power of a panda.
But I'm gonna coward punch it. I'm not gonna fully come from the
that's
front.
That's an attack from behind. You want to take that down the cross and really hook into it.
Right, I'll smash him over there with a bottle. Oh, you know what they're going to do? I'm going to glass a panda.
Yeah, you know what we need? An Irish backpacker in a hotel in Coogee. Yeah.
Oh, no. With an Edgar.
As always, you've always found the right
just
point.
Just went local for you, Mick.
Good on you, Marty. Have a great weekend. Always
have
a pleasure
weekend,
to catch up
gang.
With you, mate.
See you, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
You can catch more of Marty 3 p.m. weekdays right here on Sydney's Triple M. What the F is next?
What the F is going on?
God, you are dumb.
What the F is wrong with you?
Making MJ's What the F?
WTF?
Psychologists reveal subtle clues that you're the favourite child, as 1 in 4 mothers say they have one.
What the favourite child?
Yes, despite what your mum says, she has a favourite. According to a new study of 2,000 mums were polled, and 25% of them said that they have a favourite.
Mums are evil.
Oh. Aren't they bad? Aren't they wicked?
Really are. That's just typical. I was the least favourite. I was abandoned at my birth.
Oh,
that's true.
Not this again.
I was separated from my mum for 3 or 4 days. I don't know how long it was, but I never fully, never fully recovered. Tash, who's your favourite?
I do not have a favourite child.
And Stop it. Just put it on the table. Choose one.
Depending which day it is. Yes. Today.
To choose one.
Today.
I'm never choosing a favourite child. You refuse to answer that. I don't have a favourite.
What about Prince William? Do you reckon that's George or his illegitimate child?
Allegedly.
Who's your favourite royal?
Oh, right now, Meghan and Harry.
Oh, wow.
So there may be an illegitimate child.
Allegedly.
Which forces... No, it'll be happening. Which forces George down the order, which makes George a spare. This little prick will be like Joffrey. this is getting very Games of Thrones-y over at the House of Windsor.
Very much so.
You have a good go at me about the royals, and you guys love it.
I'm invested now.
We'll see what happens. Kat, what have you got?
Okay, so St. Patrick's Day is Sunday.
Yeah.
Australia will drink the equivalent of 2.4 million pints of Guinness on St. Patrick's Day on Sunday.
What the f***?
That
makes me feel good.
Yes. Good on you, Aussies.
Good on you, Australia.
Aussie.
Everyone pitches in. Everyone pulls their weight.
Mm.
Crack on a Guinness. Well, go down to an Irish pub. Sing a couple of songs you'll never sing again all year.
Yep.
Really get into it. Really have a go. That's fantastic. What are you going to do?
I'll probably go to, I've got a local Irish pub not too far away, so I'll definitely have it. You know when they used to put the green food dye in the...
Yeah,
yes.
the green beer.
It's the only time I drink a green drink is St. Patrick's Day.
Sure. Mm. Go down there and have a whack on a shillelagh. Let's do. Tash, what have you got?
Rats have broken into the evidence room of a US police station, consumed all the marijuana, and now they're high.
Good on them.
I'm
all for that. Rats, they get a bum gig with all this medical research. And mice and rats, they get ears attached to their backs. They're always injected with stuff.
That's true. They're put into mazes.
They have to run around on a treadmill. It's finally something for the rats. Go in there.
Go in there and
get high as kites. And then, give them some carrots. Have something to nibble on. Give them some cheese.
Some cheese balls. Yeah.
Oh, no. Fatten up on some cheese. Hey, you get the idea. 133.53. How much money?
$600. You've been very unimpressed this week.
Here we go. Mark, what do you got?
Okay. Pope Francis used to be a nightclub bouncer and a chemist in a huge science testing lab.
Sorry, he's a nightclub bouncer and what?
And a job as a chemist in a food testing lab.
Well, let's just start with he was a nightclub bouncer.
There he is.
Pope Francis, what was his discipline? Was he a mixed martial artist or was he... Well, he used to just go the king hit. What was his preferred course of action?
He'd be mace. He'd spray mace, I reckon.
No, he would take you around the back and give you a good kicking, I reckon.
Yeah, a good hiding.
He'd be free-balling under that cape. He would be, he'd hoik it up and just let the leg kicks fly.
Big roundhouse.
No, you're not coming in here today, mate. Yeah, you want to say Hail Mary? Whack, whack, whack.
Have we got a thumbs up for that, have we? Was it?
Yes.
Yeah, telling me.
Thumbs up. That's right.
Wow.
Imagine getting kicked out by Pope Francis. All right, that's not bad. Hang about. Connor, what have you got for me, buddy?
So the human pupil is just a hole to the retina, which causes red eyes because it's just blood.
No one gets red eye anymore. Ever since the introduction of phones, you don't get red eye. There's no such thing as red eye. In the old days when you used to have to go and get your film developed, you come back and you go, oh, damn it, it's a whole roll of red eye.
Mm.
But no, you don't do it on a phone, do you? Anyone ever seen red eye on a phone?
I don't think so. No.
No, not anymore.
I have.
Have you? What are you using?
After a big night you have, but not from the photo.
Black and white photos.
Black and white. You were there when you actually Pope kicked you out of a club once, didn't he?
He did indeed.
What are you talking about?
The age.
the Pope. Well, how old's Prince Fair? What's his name? How old's the Pope these days? He's
elderly.
He must be a bouncer back in the 50s or 60s.
Well, I get it. I've got it.
Yes.
Sorry, it took me a while to cotton on.
Where's your ID, young lady?
Tim's on the line. Tim, what have you got for me?
Horses only breathe through their nose. They don't breathe out their mouth.
Oh, how do you know that?
Mr. Ed told him.
Is it?
Wow. That's
true.
Yeah.
So much stuff on them when they race, I suppose. Yeah.
Well, there it is. Tim, that's fact checkers have given that a big run. Craig's on the line. Craig, what have you got for me?
Hey, guys. So in the 1908 Olympics, dueling was featured as a sport. They were using wax bullets. And for the purpose of the theatre of it all, you could officially have your opponent announced deceased.
What the f***?
What?
I don't mind dueling. That's a good way for, shooting in the Olympics. Yeah. Bring back some dueling. I would like to see bring back dueling, pistol whipping, the drive-by. I think the drive-by would be good. Something for the sawn-off.
Public hangings.
That would be good. Russian roulette.
Oh, my
God. What a great Olympic sport that would be.
What?
Well done, Craig. $600 for you. Yes, baby.
Wow, Craig.
There it is.
That's
how
I roll. Have a good weekend, buddy.
And we've been joined live in the studio by friend of the show and the newly minted host of Dancing with the Stars. Replacing one of the all-time legends of Australian TV, the new Daryl Summers, I'm calling him.
It's
big. There he is. How are you, mate?
Good morning.
Good to see you, Chris.
Wow, look.
How's it all going on set? Did you have much apologising to do after your last appearance program?
I don't know what you're talking about. I thought it was a seamless introduction. I walked in with such a warm, warm hand from everyone who was so happy to see me. The judges, Craig, Shana, Mark, and Helen.
Let's play what happened on this program last time you appeared. Who's the nasty judges, by the way? There's a couple of them now, isn't there? McKinney.
Helen Reddy.
I am woman, hear me roar.
That would be quite a feat if you didn't get Helen Reddy back.
She's not much of a mover. Not much of a mover and shaker on the dance floor anymore, but in a day, Helen Reddy was dynamite.
She was.
I nearly sent Helen Ritchie the same way after she saw some of my dancing, but she...
Look, she was great. Look, at 79, she's and a former ballroom dancing world champion. She's not a. I wouldn't say she's a regular listener of Triple M. No. Wow. In Sydney, which may surprise you.
79, her best dancing days are behind her. What's she doing? She couldn't even dance around her own handbag at the moment, could she? I mean, what could she bust
she's
out?
Very, she's
in
very
all
with
honesty.
It. She's a pretty hip hop happening, 79-year-old.
If you dipped her, you'd hear cracking in about 8 places.
Like Montgomery Burns should dance together.
Be a little pile of kindling left on the dance floor. That's what's happening. Anyway, good luck to Helen Keller. Is it Helen Keller?
Oh my lord,
Helen Ritchie. She
is that Kate's mum?
Look, it might be. It might be Kate's mum.
I didn't hear about her. Tash during our. She turned up as Tina Turner and refused to dance the Nutbush. Our listener party. It was
un-Australian.
That is a disgrace. Speaking of which, I'm lucky. Next time I come, can we have some security at the lifts next time I come in here?
Oh, what'd she do?
I didn't make the studio before I was whisked away to a darkened room lit by nothing apart from a candle, which was brilliant at illuminating Tash Belling's tinfoil hat, because despite giving the impression of a credible journalist, no one is more caught up in conspiracy theories than Natasha Belling. I just got a dressing down over the 19 different possibilities around what has happened.
To the royals.
To the royals. And the doctored photo, it is unbelievable.
Oh, she's onto it.
She's lost her mind. Yep, we're going to get you a taser. That's what we're going to get you. And if she approaches you, just let rip.
Most of her theories somehow come back to pegging. Pecking gone wrong.
Yes,
and we're not talking about the wet clothes on the clothesline. Just quietly, I was.
Wow,
I'm lucky to be here. To be
you
honest,
are lucky to be here. Today. He's here to congratulate MG on becoming a granddad for the first time. Let's talk Animal Kingdom. Who are the best parents? Who does the best parenting from the Animal Kingdom? Do you reckon?
They're all pretty good. To be honest,
they are pretty good.
You know, that admittedly, even some dogs don't have a litter as large as MG's. So that does make it tricky to compare.
MG's got a bit of a pride, doesn't he? That's where the whole family stick together, and you'll have different daughters, and they'll have cubs, and then everyone basically hangs together. And then there's a big fatty with a mane. Mm. Up the top, I mean, the pecking order.
Yeah, you say pride, I say cult. But it's a similar.
Maybe that's we asked our listeners this morning what I should be called as a pop or a granddad. Maybe Mufasa.
Mufasa.
So who in the Animal Kingdom does a great job?
I always look at penguins and think that's a pretty. They sacrifice a lot. The long cold Antarctic winter. With their little baby sort of resting on their feet off the cold of the snow for hours and hours and end, you know, while they send the wife out to fish.
Yep.
Get some cold, fish.
In the cold Antarctic borders. Spend 12
their feet
hours.
Up with happy feet. They get their feet going and do a bit of a dance, tap dance.
They do. So I think penguins are pretty remarkable.
Anyone who has an external pregnancy, like an egg, though, they're always up to no good, aren't they? Yeah. So a lot of the women are trying to get other women to mind their kids. That's true, isn't it? They'll wait till the neighbour goes out and they'll go in and push the egg into their little nest and go, suckers.
Or
I'm going to play bingo.
Or if they don't have one themselves, they'll just steal one. It's a long way back from the water, back to the nest, and they'll just coerce one across to them.
There's not enough of that going on in the real world, I reckon. Baby stealing. Hey, we saw some extraordinary scenes at a zoo where two zookeepers walked in and saw a silverback and realised he was still there, and there was nothing between them and the silverback. I put it to you that is going to get your attention quickly if you're a zookeeper.
Yeah, that is kind of worst case scenario stuff. The silverback is arguably one of the strongest animals in the world. Just he's all muscle and incredibly territorial. So you combine the muscle with the territorial behaviour, you've got a problem situation. And so being stuck in the enclosure. I think there was a male and a female keeper there. I think they're probably both worried for very different reasons.
Yes, yes.
The male.
Don't spray aftershave on him. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. So I remember one time I was in my dad's a vet and we were in an endangered species zoo in Jersey and we got a behind the scenes tour in the silverback enclosure. Not quite as behind the scenes as those zookeepers were, but I'm surprised he didn't do this. That particular day, that gorilla, he gave us a welcome by he pooed into his hand and threw it at me.
Oh,
what a great greeting!
I just copped a spray of gorilla feces, which was lovely. But they
I often do that when I've got guests around. Hi, guys, come in.
Hey,
whop.
Hey, Steve, welcome.
Welcome aboard. Cop that.
Hey, Marsha, bang.
It's an inclusive environment, is it? You like to, you know, if you're smelling a certain way, it's nice for you, for all your guests
exactly right.
to wear a little
bit of
that.
It's a term of endearment, yeah.
But you can see in that vision that the keeper's trying to edge the door closed and... It's a hell of a time to realise you haven't oiled up the joins and
yeah, that's right. But anyone got a can of WD-40? Quickly.
Stat.
Quickly. But you'd see the funny side if you're a zookeeper. Now, one of the toughest animals of the animal kingdom, there's no doubt. But a survey of Americans says that 8% of Americans think they could beat a lion in a fist fight. And a grizzly bear. Now, can you debunk this or what can you add to this conversation?
That is 1 in 12
yep.
genuinely believe that an animal with a paw bigger than our head and a head bigger than our body often is capable of... You're going to beat that in a fist fight?
Yeah.
It is, I don't know. It is remarkable. I think a lot of Americans, I think every single one of those people surveyed wouldn't be able to beat the paddle pop lion in a fist fight.
That's what Mick said. Mick said that yesterday.
I think you could probably, you know, I don't know, ask Siegfried or Roy or...
their to give you a reference, yeah.
You know, if you're going to have a fist fight with an animal doc, and I know you're a pacifist in this department, but who would you choose?
Funnily enough, it's not a thought I've had before.
Welcome to our world.
It'll be a great new series for you, though.
Yeah.
This week, Dr. Chris Brown fights an albatross.
They were asking for it. For years they've wanted that. I can see on the list, look, a rat. Disappointingly, 28% of Americans think they'd lose in a fist fight with a rat. probably the rat would be an interesting one. I mean, you see plenty of Australians taking on the kangaroo in a fist fight and losing as well. So
yeah, especially on golf course.
But look, more surveys like this, I think, is what we're all after.
From the deep south, baby.
We've found a new reality show. Doc, thanks for swinging by. It's always a pleasure. Yes. Good luck with all your exploits on Channel 7.
Thank you.
You are firmly ensconced there now. Love having you about. We'll catch up with you soon.
Love it. Thanks, guys.
See you, Brownie.
Welcome to another wonderful week that was. We're talking about petty reasons for a breakup, and poor Mick had his heart broken.
I got dumped by a girlfriend because I wore red socks with shorts.
Oh, that's a deal breaker. Why did you think that red socks were a good idea?
Were you playing?
Well, I was in fifth grade at the time.
MG dropped the bombshell that he was on his school's debating team.
I was very good at written expression. Look, I'm not now, but I used to be good at that. My teacher said, go on the debating thing. I said, what is it? And so I learned it. There was 13 schools involved and we topped the tree.
And Whaley. You were there. You were like a beastie. Peter Ustinov of the debating circuit.
And then this one.
I was also the double Dutch skipping champion with a kid called Jeffrey Roberts. Can you dance like the crew? Can you do what we do? Check it out. Don't forget that our news crew. Double up, two shot, never stop the bass drop. Rock it.
The Oscars were on this week and Mick had an idea on how to speed up some of the longer speeches.
I think they need to dial it up a bit. They should have a sniper in the crowd. And when you see a red dot...
Well, you've got to stop.
When you stop. But the orchestra is used occasionally when someone's banging on too long.
I'm done with this.
How dare you?
Our Gen Z correspondent Bella had some good news for Mick on the latest Gen Z trends.
Ciggies are back. Vapes are out and ciggies are back. Smoking in the
boys' room. I'm going to take it to the next level and get myself an electronic voice box.
Hello, house dinner's on.
When asked what zoo animal you would fight, MG picked a giraffe.
Yeah, knock him down a peg or two. I think he just thinks he's king shit at Turtle Island, standing there looking over people, looking down on people. You know, I'd kick him in the legs, bring him down to my level, and then go whoosh, go right in the side of the ear.
Well, you're not going to get him in a headlock, are you?
No, not in a headlock. He wouldn't see me coming.
There was an earthquake in the western suburbs last weekend, and naturally mixed concerns were mainly focused on Penrith Beach.
Was there a tsunami? This is what happens. First there's an earthquake.
Yeah.
And then the secondary effects. Well, in news just a hand, apparently the earthquake did $20 million worth of improvements.
We were outraged that a Randwick cafe sold hot cross buns for $30.
For what? How many?
So just a regular six-pack that they usually sell, I think, for about $8.
You know, be shitty about that. Jesus. Yeah. That is a slap in the face for Jesus. He's fronted up with two public holidays. He's done everything he can.
Glenn Robbins revealed that there was a billboard of Mick in his underpants right out the front of a school.
The girls were coming out of the school having to confront Mick Malloy. It was quite disturbing.
Not only was it inappropriate, but everyone had to slow down to 40Ks.
That's true.
Everyone had to slow down to 40Ks because you were out the front of a school, so you couldn't nip past it.
Yeah, you're going, oh, no, pities, look away, please.
Kate Middleton has been in the news a bit this week, and Mick reflected on her royal wedding.
I thought it was fantastic. She made them take the word obey out of the vows, and I thought, good on her, because as an English princess, the only thing she really needs to obey is the speed limit inside a Parisian tunnel.
Mick! And finally, despite being mocked by Mick and MG, Tash from the very start had predicted that the photos of Kate Middleton were photoshopped, so Mick and MG owed her a totally authentic, not at all fabricated apology.
So Tash, on behalf of myself and of course MG, we wholeheartedly apologise. We will never question
your integrity again, and we
mean that. This is from the bottom of our hearts and sincere, not pre-recorded or phoned in.
No.
And there it was, another wonderful week that was on Mick and MG in the Morning on Triple M Sydney.
Mick and MG in the Morning, brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet. Mick and MG in the Morning, weekdays from 6 on Sydney's Triple M.